Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So will we have the verse on the screen today? No? Okay. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1. This is the advent of Lord Krishna, introduction. Text number 8. So text number 8 has a short purport, and then text number 9 has a longer purport. So I'm going to chant text number 8 and then read the purport, then text number 9 and read the purport, and then we'll speak from text number 9. And I'll just chant the Sanskrit, and since the verse is not up on the board, then we'll just go into the word for word, and I'll read the purports. So text number 8. Rohinyasht tanaya prokto rama shankarshanashtvaya Devakya garba sambanda kuto dehantaram vina. Translation. My dear Sukadev Goswami, you have already explained that Sankarshan, who belongs to the second quadruple, appeared as the son of Rohini named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible that he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here is a question particularly directed at understanding Balaram, who is Sankarshan himself. Balaram is well known as the son of Rohini, yet it is also known that he was the son of Devaki. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to understand the mystery of Balaram's being the son of both Devaki and Rohini. Text 9. Kashman Mukunda Bhagavan Pitur Gehad Vrajam Gataha Kvavasan Gyatibi Sardam Kritavan Saktatam Piti. Okay, I'll say the word for word, and we can respond, please. Kasmat, why? Mukunda, Krishna, who can award liberation to everyone. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pitu, of his father Vasudev. Gehat, from the house. Vrajam, to Vrajadam, Vrajabhumi. Gataha, went. Kva, where. Vasam, placed himself to live. And himself, him, is with a capital H. Gatibi, his relatives. Sardam, with. Kritavan, did so. Satvatam, Pati, the master of all Vaishnava devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Why did Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave the house of His father, Vasudev, and transfer Himself to the house of Nanda in Vrindavan? Where did the Lord, the master of the Yadu dynasty, live with His relatives in Vrindavan? Purport. These are inquiries about the itinerary of Krishna. Just after His birth, in the house of Vasudev in Mathura, Krishna transferred Himself to Gokula, on the other side of the Jamuna, and after some days He moved with His father, mother, and relatives to Nandagram, Vrindavan. Maharaj Parikshit was very much eager to hear about Krishna's activities in Vrindavan. This entire canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is full of activities performed in Vrindavan and Dvarka. The first 40 chapters describe Krishna's Vrindavan affairs, and the next 50 describe Krishna's activities in Dvarka. Maharaj Parikshit, to fulfill his desire to hear about Krishna, requested Sukadeva Goswami to describe these activities in full detail. Om Agnanata Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Srila Prabhupada, as he was moving towards the end of his pastimes here on this planet, the 10th canto, you can see his eagerness to speak about Krishna Katha. And so here, we're speaking about the pastimes of Lord Krishna, this chapter entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, the introduction. So one point that sticks out in mind here, as we describe Srila Prabhupada having that eagerness to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to hear the pastimes of His devotees, another example is Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was very much eager to hear about Krishna's activities and the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan. So, lolyam, eagerness. This is a very important word. Everyone sitting here and coming to the program every day, we must have an eagerness to hear the holy name, to chant the prayers to the spiritual masters, to worship the spiritual master, to chant Hare Krishna. We're all eager. Here it is, we get up at 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to be here for the morning program. And we're spending from 4:30 until 8:30 hearing and chanting about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. So there's a certain eagerness. Otherwise, you know, who in their right mind would wake up at, you know, 4:30 in the morning? But you're all in your right mind because you're all here for 4 hours hearing and chanting about Krishna. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that also speaks about this. Katayantash. And Katayantash is talking. One of the nutshell verses, that being in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the opulence of the Absolute, text number 9, Majita Magita Prana Vadhariyata Parasparam Katayantash. There's that word, Katayantash. like Krishna Katha. Katayantash chamam nityam tushanticha ramanticha. Machita. Their minds fully engaged in me. So the translation, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about me. They derive great satisfaction and bliss. Isn't that what we're all looking for? Satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about me. So we're taking time in the morning to hear and chant about Krishna. And this, if done throughout the day, enlightening one another and conversing about me, conversing about Krishna, we'll get a certain taste for these pastimes. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here, engaging themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. So everything starts with shravanam. Everything starts with hearing. It's a process. As we've heard that verse many times before, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, and atmanivedanam. Surrendering everything to Krishna. But the basic formula is hearing and chanting, and then remembering. So we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The reason for our efforts in chanting and coming every morning is we want to develop love for Krishna. So if you want to develop love for someone, you develop a taste for wanting to hear about their lives. And Krishna becomes very attracted when he hears his devotees glorifying him, when he hears his devotees speaking about him, about his pastimes. Krishna becomes very attracted, he becomes very happy to hear his devotees glorifying him. And eventually we get a taste for hearing and chanting. Not just the Maha Mantra, but also the pastimes. And there's so much to remember. This is like an ocean. Just imagine looking at an ocean and how deep it is. Looking at the ocean and seeing all the waves coming up on the shore. As I've previously said, Krishna has you know, unlimited names, unlimited forms, just like the waves of the ocean. Or it's said in the Shastaka, Krishna has unlimited, unlimited pastime names, like Krishna and Govinda. So, Srila Prabhupada has, even at an older age, when his health was externally beginning to fail, he was still, very much absorbed. He was still very much in bliss. He was still very much in the ecstasy. He had that lolium, that eagerness to hear and chant about the supreme personality of Godhead. So the example is there. The example in Maharaj Parikshit. As we've been hearing in this chapter about the miseries and the troubles of the material world, and we've heard this so many times before, but we need to keep hearing it again and again and again. But we can simply, by hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by chanting His holy names, and accepting, as in the previous purport, this is 10:14, this is the in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 58. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and who is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in the calf's hoof print. His goal is Param Padam, or Vaikuntha, a place where there is no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. So, we've heard this before. In this world, there's danger at every step. We can walk outside, we can be in a car, we can fly in a plane. And even if we weren't even outside, sometimes things fall from the sky. So you never know. So it's really important to always be remembering Krishna. This is really, really important, because at any time we can get the knock on the door, and it's time to go. We may not know when we have 7 days left to live. So we've been speaking about this and hearing about this. It's not that we want to necessarily, you know, get caught up in anxiety and fear about speaking about death all the time. But at the same time, it's important to keep this in the forefront, because then it's said in the scriptures that if you keep death in the forefront, you make a lot of advancement. And, you know, time goes very fast. I've been speaking with some of the devotees here. Bhrigupati Prabhu, you're one person that comes to mind because of what we're reading and studying here. Maybe it's kind of stimulated your intelligence and your thought to speak about this. But I've also heard it in a class that you gave about 3 months ago, 3 weeks ago, excuse me, that, you know, life at this age could be two-thirds over. It could be, you know, three-quarters over. We don't really know. And in dealing with a lot of, you know, youth and speaking with lots of young people, even sometimes they say to me how fast things go. And it just seems like yesterday I was in high school. It seems like just yesterday I was in college. It seems like just yesterday I came to the temple. And it's just incredible how fast time goes. So this is really serious. This is serious business. And we shouldn't take this cheaply. And sometimes we get caught up in, you know, the different perplexities of the material world, the anxieties of the material world, our relationships with people. But, you know, bring it back to these important points, that We are so fortunate to have the association of other devotees who are trying to become pure, who are dedicating their life to preaching Krishna consciousness in many different ways. So yes, life can be difficult, and if we're Krishna conscious, it doesn't mean that everything's going to still be easy. There's still going to be challenges. But if we can remember that Krishna is the source of everything, then it just seems that, you know, things in life just, they become a little bit easier. You know, we feel pain in our bodies. Our mind gives us anxieties. We have anxieties about maintenance. We have anxieties about, other living entities. Will we be attacked? Are we going to have enough money to live? Is there going to be prasadam? Is there going to be enough water to drink? I mean, we can just go down the list. But again, just stay focused on chanting our 16 rounds and following the process. And all these other anxieties, they seem to shrink. It's not that they're not there, but they shrink. I was thinking that sometimes, that years ago, before I was a devotee, it seemed that problems or challenges that I had in life was like a blazing fire in front of me. And now those challenges, they're still there. But it's kind of like that big blazing fire has taken some steps back. And it's not so much right in my face anymore. And, you know, it comes from maturity in life and maturity in Krishna consciousness. So in this verse from Bhagavad Gita, text 9, again where Srila Prabhupada writes that the thoughts, or Krishna saying, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Srila Prabhupada writes that their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. So perhaps take a moment today to go over to someone and just discuss something that maybe you were reading, or something that you heard. Just take a moment, back to Eric, I just want to share with you something that I read today. Or back to Sebastian Prabhu, I wanted to share something with you. Or Sarvabhauma Prabhu, I just want to share something with you today. Or perhaps you come up to me and say, you know, I read this today, or I got this realization. And let's help each other to remind each other of what is our constitutional position. So we have many nice examples here in Maharaj Parikshit. Srila Prabhupada did the cyclic succession within each other. We've got nice examples. So the example is more important than precept. So it's nice to see such great pastimes where we can see such wonderful examples of those who are Krishna conscious and those who are trying to be Krishna conscious, like ourselves. In saying that, I remember once, years ago, I heard Satsarup Maharaj tell a story how there were groups of devotees that were together, and they said, Srila Prabhupada, you're an incarnation of God. So Srila Prabhupada's response to that was, I'm not an incarnation of God, I'm trying to be.
a servant of God.
And then he thought about it and he said, actually, I'm not a servant of God. I'm trying to be a servant of God. So you can see Srila Prabhupada's humility. I remember Satsriyat Maharaj then said, so if Srila Prabhupada was trying, you know, where does that leave us? It's like we're not even trying. But we are trying. Everyone here is trying. And, you know, by that humility, we know that one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Tunadapi suniche na taroriva sahishnuna amanide manidena kirtaniya sadahari. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, just a few points today. We can stop here and see if anyone has any additions or questions or comments. Chandrasekhar Prabhu? We'll see if we can get you the microphone. Otherwise, I'll just repeat your question. You said it was a comment? Question, okay. Thank you for waiting for that. Jai?
You were mentioning how Krishna is pleased when he hears devotees glorifying him and chanting his glories. For me, it's easy to understand why a conditioned soul would feel happiness when someone is glorifying him or her. False ego, the desire for name and fame, and so on. But sort of as a devil's advocate, or taking the position, let's say, of a non-devotee who's just coming to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one may ask, you know, why do you guys believe that God himself, who is supposed to be pure and free of any type of pride and so on, still nonetheless takes pleasure in hearing people glorify him? And yeah, that's the question.
Well, there are certain... You know, we can't always understand everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At least I know myself. You know, there's just so much to know and to understand. And, you know, we have to be careful about seeing certain activities through, you know, our material senses or through our own conditioning. It's our duty to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to chant his holy name. That's our duty, and it's our duty to spread Krishna consciousness. So he's very happy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is very happy when he sees his devotees chanting. They're happy, they're glorifying. They're in their constitutional position. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, you know, not only is the spiritual master happy, but then Krishna's happy. And if the spiritual master's happy with the disciple, then we should also understand that Krishna is happy. Somebody want to add something to that? Back to Eric.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, I was just thinking about it. It's an interesting question. I was thinking it could also be that the qualities of jiva souls are temporary, derivative, and I have something else too. But whereas Krishna's qualities are eternal and substantial, and so by glorifying the living entities, one becomes further absorbed in illusion, like an illusion, you know, condition of temporal existence. Whereas by glorifying the qualities of Krishna, one becomes absorbed in eternal reality. So it's actually beneficial. So Krishna, you know, could be he actually like he can see that it's actually beneficial for others to glorify him, and so he
sort of.
And this, as you were speaking about glorifying those in the material world, as we see, there's so much glorification of those who have opulence, as you know, the fame, adoration, distinction. This is all a perverted reflection of what's actually taking place in the spiritual world. All right, any other comments or questions? All right, so we can finish a little early. Thank you very much for coming to Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Kush Prabhu.